We are now on item eight in open session. Mr. Counsel, would you like to go through a quick background, applicable law, and recommendation as far as a motion by the board? And then my understanding is that Hercules Rodeo will have counsel or a speaker make public comments at that point.
I'd be happy to.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As requested by the board, we prepared a resolution for the board's consideration today, Board of Retirement Resolution 2016-2, assessing Rodeo Hercules Fire District costs incurred because of the district's failure to forward contributions to CICERA on a timely basis. The CICERA board had to file a lawsuit and in order to recover the funds that were owed after a demand was made to the district and no assurance was provided to CICERA that full payments will be coming. The CICERA board has, of course, the authority to the fiduciary responsibility and authority to maintain the financial status of the system and collect employer contributions. Employer contributions are mandatory. And under CERL Section 315.80.1, the CICERA board also has the authority to assess a district reasonable amounts that are incurred by CICERA because of the district's failure to submit and forward contributions in full and on time. Are there any questions?
Okay. Would representative from Rodeo Hercules Fire District like to make public comment? If you would use the podium and introduce yourself in advance.
Good morning. My name is Dawn McIntosh. I'm with Myers Nave. I represent the Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District. First of all, I'd like to address a couple of the points that were made in the presentation or the motion that you just heard. There was no lawsuit that was filed that pressured the district to pay overdue fees. That had nothing to do with what's happening here. As you know, the district has been suffering from some serious financial hardships. We brought a request to CICERA to adjust the amortization period. We've been waiting for a response to that request, which we're still waiting to receive. In the meantime, we suffered a pretty hard hit with the inability to use a benefit assessment that was waiting because of litigation. As a result, we weren't able to pay all of the fees due from July through November to CICERA. We were very upfront about that at the October board meeting. Right after that board meeting, you took no action on our request, but the next day we received a letter from Mr. Lederman asking us to pay those fees in full. Our counsel for the district promptly responded and said we would be responding. We put it on their next agenda for the district. Before the district could meet, Mr. Lederman filed a motion to intervene in our existing lawsuit that was about to settle. I promptly contacted his office, let him know it was on our following week's board meeting agenda, sent him a copy of the staff report to prove that that was the case, and asked him not to take any further action until we could meet. Instead, they filed a complaint the following Monday. Our board met on Wednesday, the first time they could meet after your request, and they voted to make up all payments and to continue pay moving forward. By the end of that month, all payments were complete. So you sent a letter to the district requesting full payment. The district brought it up at their next meeting. They voted to do that, and they promptly did that. There's no need to assess any costs here. The litigation had nothing to do with our response to your letter. We responded at our first opportunity. As you know, the district has been suffering from financial hardships. This is simply something that would compound that problem. So I would ask that you not assess any costs, and we simply move forward. We are paying in full. We are doing it every month. And I would ask that Director Bartke come up and make a few comments as well.
Thank you. My name is Beth Bartke. I'm the chair of the board of directors for the Rodeo Hercules Fire District. And I've been on the board for lots of years, 12 years or so. And about 10 years ago, I was involved in a nonprofit, the Community Violence Solutions Rape Crisis Center. And when you work for a nonprofit, you learn how to beg. And so I'm not ashamed to come before you today and beg. And this time it's not for women and children, but it's for the residents of Rodeo and Hercules. And as our attorney mentioned, we are going through rough times right now. And we're asking you to work with us, to help us. We asked about 6 months ago, more than that now, to help us re-amortize the debt that we owe, and we were hoping to get an answer and some help in that direction. We are still begging you to work with us on that issue and also not to go ahead with this assessment that you've or thinking about giving to us. We're, as elected officials, and we are all volunteers, by the way, years ago they received a small stipend, but not anymore. So we volunteer our time to work in the community, and we have a great community of Rodeo and Hercules. And some of our firefighters are here today representing the district, and they're all great firefighters and hardworking men. And I, for one, appreciate them. So I'm not going to go over all the details. Our attorney did that well, but I would ask you to work with us, to help us, and to not charge us this extra assessment. Thank you very much.
Any further public?
Good morning, board. My name is Vince Wells. I'm the president of Local 1230, and I represent the Rodeo Hercules firefighters. And I just wanted to echo Director Barkey's comments. You know, the fire district is struggling right now. There's two fire stations in the Rodeo Hercules, one in Rodeo and one in Hercules. And if you remember, a few years back, we had closed the Rodeo station, and we were able to reopen it with a federal grant. And that grant is soon to expire. And so what we're trying to do right now is figure out ways to manage the money to make sure that we can maintain. We have seven firefighters basically on the line for layoffs. So any additional costs to the fire district would be devastating in our efforts to try to maintain those services as well as keep the staffing level up. So we would hope that you could move past this. I mean, we understand why this came to your attention, but from my conversations, we were here when this first came up, and then our communications with the fire district, they were clearly going to move forward with making the payments without any further action from this board. I mean, once they realized how important that issue was. So I just wanted to ask that you would just waive the fees and please allow us to work on getting the finances straight in this fire district. Thanks.
Is there any additional public comment? Yes.
Chair Phillips and members of the board, thank you for allowing us to speak to this matter. If I could just for a moment bring us back to the original problem, was that the 60% increase to our cost and the $3 million loss in property tax is what got us here today. We have significant structural problems in the fire district. The refinery was reassessed. We lost $1 million there. We lose over $1 million to ERAF, another over $1 million to redevelopment, and another $1 million in pasture that's not paid to us. So these problems are significant. And as you are aware, we attritioned out 9 firefighter positions, which essentially caused the 60% increase to our rates. That's what got us here. Our rates went up by $1 million. So when we went to CICERA 2 years ago, and then subsequently in February of 2015, which is a year ago almost to the date, and we said, this is a significant problem, the guidance that we received from your staff was to prepare a resolution, wait for the actuarial to be completed, and go before the board and ask for a reset, which is allowable under state law. That's what we did. And we hit a crisis point. And again, we're sitting here, we circulate an RFP for financial analysis on Friday, circulate an RFP for another polling services on this coming Friday. So this district has done a tremendous amount of work to try to stabilize the community. But I can tell you this, it's simply this. We will lay off another 7 firefighters. We will close a fire station. We will attrition out another 3 positions. That's 10. That's 10 less people that will be paying into the system. What that means is another increase. So that's what we're looking at, paying more to the retirement system than we are in salaries. We reduced our firefighter salaries by 50%. I know of no other community in the entire state of California that has had the kinds of losses that we have. And I'll reiterate the fact that our Prop 4 spending limits are $13 million and our property tax revenue is less than 4. We have significant problems. And as a special district, we are extremely limited of what we can do to raise additional revenue. We essentially can just reduce staff. We have a responsibility to 35,000 people in our community to maintain the standard of care. The district came about 90 years ago. It became a district in 1937, coincidentally. We're stuck in a 40-year-old tax structure. We can't fix that. There are no levy lifts. You're fully aware of that. What does $40,000 mean? $40,000 is our training budget for the year. $40,000 is our fuel cost for the year. But more than that, we worked with staff for 2 years. This shouldn't be a surprise. We have a problem. We can't just quit. We can't just go to PERS. You all know that. We are the only ones that are in 2 at 50. We're the only ones paying in. We were depooled. We were hit by significant losses in general fund employees. We don't have people paying into the system. So it's a significant problem. And whether or not there's a $40,000 fine put on us, the problem still exists. So I believe that it's in the best interest of the system as a whole and in the best interest of our community to work on a solution that will benefit all of us. It's as simple as that. Again, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Good question. You identify yourself.
Oh, pardon me. I apologize. Charles Hanley, the fire chief for Dale Hercules.
So the 60% increase was to employer contribution rates, is it, Sarah?
That's correct. It was over 60, yes.
Why does it go up if you lay people off?
Because the unfunded liability just continues to grow. Their people are not paying into the system. So it continues to grow. There's less people paying in.
But the cost would remain the same, though. You're just
No.
Well, your contribution rates of your employees are not paying for the unfunded liability anyway. So it really doesn't matter whether your employee numbers go up or down. That isn't going to affect your unfunded liability.
No, it's viewed as a loss. Essentially what happens is it's as though we took $1 million loss in the stock market, and those are the words of your own employees.
I think the way it works is you continue to pay that rate, so it doesn't affect as a percent, it may go up per employee.
No, that is not how it works. Essentially what it looks as though it's shown as a loss. Your own actuarial shows this as a loss. It's as though we were losing in the stock market.
Okay.
And so therefore, we had that increase. And I say that simply because these are the words that came from your own staff. It's in that staff report.
I don't think that's accurate, but I want to argue about it.
Well, indeed, I can only go with what the actuarial, the actuary and your experts say. In the end, it is over 60% increase. The reasons why were explained to us as the following. I'm not in a position to argue with your own folks about it.
Did we not change this district over to a flat contribution, monthly contribution rate to the unfunded?
Annual.
So they're not paying on a, they're no longer paying on a percentage of payroll, correct?
Correct.
Right. So you're paying a flat fee.
That was for a one-year period that extended to a two-year period, and we just got an increase. So that we were increased, I see, in 16-17 by another 5%.
Chief, two things. One, Cicera incurred this $45,000 cost to preserve and recover contributions that your district ceased or didn't make on a timely basis. We did that for the benefit of your members, of members of Cicera. We've incurred this cost. Who should pay this cost if not the party that caused the cost to be incurred?
Well, if you're, I will answer this question as a lay person. Four letters, two phone calls are not $45,000. It did not occur. And I'm saying this as a lay person. I'm not an attorney. That is for our general counsel, but I simply say this. I do not believe in any way that there was $45,000 worth of staff work to pay this back. Okay, it's just simply my belief. I don't believe that.
So your issue is that some cost was incurred, but maybe not $45,000 worth. Is that?
Absolutely. If we created additional staff costs, then we would pay what it would be reasonable a staff cost. However, I would also say that having to wait 10 months to get an answer to an extremely serious problem is a staff cost on us. I mean, I would never make anybody wait 10 months to get an answer. I don't think that's reasonable. It's simply that this. What is in the best interest of Cicera, its members, this fire district, and how do we work this out? How do we work this out? This didn't come upon us over the 40-year period. This came upon in the last couple of years. And we brought it to your attention that we have a problem. Let's help us work this out. That's why we asked for a reset. That's why some of your folks said, what about a holiday? That's why we've been entertaining a pension obligation bond to try to fix the problem. So, in essence, do I believe $40,000 is reasonable? No, I don't. Do I believe that you should assume administrative costs that we created? I don't believe that either.
Go ahead, Gabe.
Sure. Were you or your board given a breakdown of how the costs were incurred?
No.
Just a flat letter saying it was $40,000.
Correct.
So I want to follow up on Trustee Haas' question. I'm still trying to understand, does the district accept that if it caused the system to incur additional costs to recover contributions, that we're entitled to recover that cost? Do you agree with that principle?
Again, I believe that under law that an agency that has to do that additional staff work and incur administrative costs should be reimbursed for that. I mean, and all agencies do that to a degree.
So is the answer yes, you agree that the party is entitled to be reimbursed for costs expended if it had to incur those costs to obtain contributions, as we did in this case? I'm just trying to understand the position.
I agree the actual cost, the actual reasonable cost, should be repaid if you incurred them.
So if you're given a breakdown, and this is, I'd be helping with this, this is something where we can say this is what the costs were incurred to have them better understand. It's not like he's questioning $45,000 and not the fact that they're agreed that they should pay something.
I can address that. First, the CERL allows the board, gives the board the authority to recover costs incurred. The figure that you have before you, the $45,000, that does not represent the total cost incurred by the system in obtaining collection from the district. That amount only reflects external costs, costs that our system paid to our outside consultant to resolve this matter and get us the payments that we were due.
So what I hear you saying, Karen, is all of your time, that's not in here.
Reflected in this amount, neither is the Sarah CEO time or any other internal staff time.
How much time did you spend on this, roughly?
Since September?
Yeah.
I'd have to think about it.
But it's significant?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It was one of our priorities for our executive team and our accounting department to get this right.
So in terms of what's before us, I'll use a term, hopefully I use it correctly. There are no soft costs included in this reimbursement. These are hard costs, out-of-pocket costs that we paid in order to secure the relief, right?
Yes, after careful review, making sure that each line item is reasonable and necessary.
Okay.
Now, is it okay to provide them a breakdown, like how many hours was involved?
We would not do that.
We will not do that.
No.
Okay.
Well, and that was sort of my question, too, is normally, you know, if you're going to a court and requesting attorney's fees, you would provide something rather than just a lump sum, and we don't even have that before us. And as I've expressed my concern about the reasonableness of imposing this level all at once on a struggling fire district, it would be helpful for me if we could have a breakdown just to make sure it's understandable. Too. I mean, obviously, there are filing fees and their court costs. Court appearance is if, in fact, there was a physical appearance at the intervening through the intervening process, drafting of a motion, and is it reasonable?
And that's a fair question, which is why we review all invoices and make sure that they are reasonable. There's also a confidentiality item here, and that is the fact that the actual work done is attorney-client privileged.
Right.
So can you, Harvey, can you, or Karen, can you walk me through, us through, how I was here for the meeting in October when we learned from the chief that contributions had not been paid as far back as July. And with all due respect, I think you made a comment that the chief was upfront at the October meeting about the fact that he wasn't going to pay the payments. I think I would have expected that he'd be upfront in July with communication that he wasn't going to make the payments and not wait until 3 months had not been. So I'm not really sure that upfront is really the right.
Well, if I might address that.
You introduce yourself again, just
certainly. Don McIntosh, Myers Nave, on behalf of the Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District. CICERA's staff was absolutely aware of that. The district was not hiding that from anyone. The district had been trying to get before this board since it submitted a letter in February. The first opportunity it had to get before this board was in October. It did not have that opportunity in July. But CICERA staff was very aware of that fact in July.
They were aware that the payments were not going to be paid?
They were aware the payments had not been made in full.
Was there any communication to that, or just all of a sudden there wasn't a check or amount was less? Was there any kind of communication saying we're not going to pay full amount?
I have to defer that to the chief and see if there was communication with you and the staff.
The staff members were aware there was a number of emails that went back and forth trying to find out when we were going to be able to get in front of this board. That went all the way between February and late May. Subsequent phone conversation indicated that we are moving forward with our budget. They indicated to us that they would get this on as soon as the actuarial was completed, and that did not occur. So therefore, there were email and phone conversations with staff. The emails were included in, I don't know if they were in the board packet, but they were certainly provided. And this was no secret and was also adopted publicly.
Did your email and correspondence with staff, did it explicitly say, and oh, by the way, we're going to cut back on?
Yes, it did, and that was the budget. The budget was written clearly in there that it was deferred, and that was provided.
I think what we're getting at is, did anybody sit there and tell us? Because we found out after the fact, payments were made. As far as I remember, there's nothing said, look, we're not going to be able to make the contract and notify us.
To be clear, very clear. As a staff member, we speak staff to staff. We do not go to boards and approach boards. We follow your procedures. We provided a resolution and the budget which clearly indicated that that payment would be deferred. You had those documents, when I say you, meaning Sisera staff, and said how critical this was to us. And we were assured that this would be brought before the board. So you had written documentation that showed there was a deferral. And if you go to the fifth or sixth page of the staff report budget memorandum, it is clearly stated in there that this would be deferred. And your staff accepted those and said that this was sufficient. There was also a request to make some projections for district revenue to the future. We did that. All of those were included in with the resolution and in that packet. Now, we don't set your agendas, and we don't do the staff board communication with you, but we provided that not only verbally but in writing to staff.
So you provided a budget, and somewhere on page 6, it said that something, that payments were going to be deferred, and you now come to us and say that's your communication to us by providing a budget that has a page 6 that with a number that says it's going to be deferred.
No, that's not quite correct.
Another communication, direct communication, not
direct communication was face to face with the number 2 person in Sisera, and with phone communication and with written communication, specifically written out in paragraph form, not just a number, that said that we were deferring this. And it was also, we also provided the resolution. Remember, we are following the guidance from Sisera. Exactly what was requested, we provided.
Are we able to take a break and get a copy of that?
Well, or more importantly, which staff?
Yeah. That would have been
Kurt.
Well,
so is it your position then, sir, that this individual said then affirmatively to you, that's okay with Sisera, we understand that now, and that's fine with the district to do that?
No.
This is
what we have. When we brought it to him, he indicated that Sisera would do the following. Provide the information to the actuary. The actuary would perform an actuarial. The actuarial would come with a recommendation, which it did, and solutions, and all or proposed solutions. And he also indicated that it was highly unlikely, or the board would look disfavorably on a reset of the amortization period because it would go into negative amortization. That was the text of the conversation. That is also in the emails. This had been going on for better than 2 years, and we were providing information as we were directed.
Do you want to intervene here?
I want to make a clear point that there's no confusion. A district cannot unilaterally decide to reduce or eliminate payments to Sisera that they owe us. They have a statutory obligation to pay retirement contributions. They cannot unilaterally decide not to or to pay less. They also cannot unilaterally decide to do that and put it in some form of a written communication to Sisera staff CSERA staff does not have the authority to agree to it by simply by knowing about it or even affirmatively agree to it. The only thing that CSERA staff can do is provide that information to the board, and the board would have to make a decision on that. And I think there's been a mixing up of two items here. There's the issue of the district's request of the board to actuarially change some items so that the payment going forward would be different. That's one thing, and that's what the chief is talking about in terms of taking 10 months or however long that took. But confusing that with a district's unilateral decision to reduce their payments is just confusing the issue here. What the item is here today for the board's consideration is an assessment for the costs incurred by CSERA to immediately receive the amounts due. They have nothing to do with your request regarding changing the actuarial method by which retirement contributions are being calculated. And that's what this item is limited to.
It sounds like to me like they're saying in July they told us and we did nothing about it. So now there's legal fees. I know we're only talking about paying
the
legal
board fees. Discovered the day of the board meeting where Chief Hanley was here and talked about making lower payments since July. That was the first time this board discovered that full payments weren't being made since July.
But my concern with all of this, based upon this conversation, and we have nothing to back it up, is that even though these are two separate and distinct issues, in their discussions or their email correspondence, there may have been some tacit approval or acknowledgement that this was taking place. They relied on that to make their determinations. The fact that we didn't find out till October was very disconcerting to each one of us, but apparently somebody in staff or several people in the staff were aware. We just weren't made aware. So I'm concerned because just based upon the testimony we're hearing today, there were some representations of some kind or some tacit approval of, yeah, we're going to get this to the board and here's your resolution. Okay, we understand you're not paying us in full. No, they didn't say that's okay, but I'm concerned with us sitting here today making a determination without having more information. Mm-hmm. Because clearly it's very inconvenient that Kurt is no longer here to come and testify to this or talk to us about it, but I'm still concerned, and I really would like to see the paper trail, if there is one, the email correspondence, something that the district can provide. Again, my goal is not to drive the district into the ground or even make it more difficult, but I'm concerned about what I'm hearing today.
So just a point, Chief Hanley, if I recall, you had an agenda before July 1. Didn't you have an agenda item before July 1 that was essentially postponed?
No, we had an agenda item in October, but Nowicki took up the entire day. So it was, okay. Maybe it was in September, but it went to well past the time, so we had to reschedule.
September, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
We were item 9, and they were item 8.
So, Chief, I just want to finish where it was going. So you're saying to us that you had a conversation with a staff member and said to him directly, and by the way, we're not making the payments. Is that correct?
I had a conversation with a staff member actually in 2014 that we would not be able to make these payments.
We're talking about in July of 2015 when the district stopped making the payments. Okay. Did you have a conversation with a staff member and say to them, and we're not making these payments?
Yes, I did. And that was, there's a follow.
What was his response?
We will work with the actuarial and the board to get this on the agenda.
Okay. So his response was not, that's fine, you can do that. His response was, I'll continue working on what we've been working on, which is to get this to the agenda and try to deal with the actual contribution rate.
His response was, we're aware of the problem and we'll get it on the agenda.
So I guess I just want to separate what I was hearing, or at least what I feel you were implying before, which is you talked to staff and they knew all about it and it was okay. That's really not the case. You may have mentioned it to staff at one point, to which the response was, well, we're going to keep working on this, but the response was not, it's okay for you to not make the payment.
To be clear, staff was aware month after month after month that we were not going to be able to make the payment and the impact. So this wasn't just a casual conversation. This was a high priority to the district because we're making significant financial decisions based on whether or not we were going to have a reset, whether this deferral would continue. We're fully aware of what our obligation is. That's why we continued with the email and attempting to get to see the board. I think that what's important here is, members, we don't have instant access to the board. We have to go through staff. We follow staff guidance. And we said, we would not have come to you and said, and asked for a flattening of our payments and moved in that direction if we didn't think this was a significant problem. We would not have shifted a portion of our payroll over to a federal grant if we didn't think this was a very serious problem.
Yeah, we get it. This is a problem. Okay, we get it. So I have one other question. When you came before us in October, you were asked a number of questions by this board about what work had been done on budgeting. Do you have a one-year budget? Do you have a two-year budget? Do you have a five-year budget? And the answers that we received at that time was that you had employed no professionals for any financial help with this district, and that you had a one-year budget, and I believe we may or may not have gotten a copy of that, but there was nothing beyond 1 year. You just told us in your first comments that you have now circulated last week an RFP for some financial help from a financial consultant for the district. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay. So if this has been a problem for over 2 years, which you've repeated to us, then why are we, and we had the same conversation in October, why are we now another 3 or 4 months down the road and we're just now looking for the financial?
Okay, to be clear, a financial analysis is not the answer. It's not going to solve the problem. What it's going to do is have another fresh set of eyes reveal the fact that we're losing $4 million a year in property tax revenue and we cannot continue to do the service. There's not going to be any magic or any pixie dust that's going to come out of that. It's simply this. The reason why is because we were embroiled in a legal battle and attempting to settle this. We were going to lose a revenue measure. That was the highest priority. We had hired outside professionals to run the revenue measure. That's where our consulting money went.
Okay, so is there an answer now? Is there an answer to the district's overall problem now? I realize you're trying to get this board to help be a part of solving that problem. But even if we were to do some type of reset, you have the information from the actuaries. Is that going to solve the district's problems?
Are we off target on this?
Yes.
I think
yes.
Way. I kind of think this should be something for another agenda. It's not really an agenda item. If we're getting to something else.
If I may, I agree. This was the agenda item from October that we are, frankly, still waiting for an answer from this board as to that request. And I believe it is getting mixed up with the agenda item for today. The agenda item for today is simply, is CSERA going to assess reasonable costs against the district that were incurred because of the need to ask them to make these payments that were not timely made? And quite frankly, it really doesn't matter whether 7 staff people knew in July and August, or 2 or 1, or if they chose to bring it to this board. What matters is what reasonable costs were incurred by CSERA once it learned of this issue to address the issue. And as we've talked about today, this board learned about this issue at the October meeting. I think there's no question that you were not aware of that until the October meeting. Once you became aware of that, you made a request to the district for payment in writing. That letter, certainly, there was cost incurred to draft that letter. We responded at our first opportunity. The very first board meeting we had, we voted to make up all those payments. We had been in contact with Ms. Stroll and asked her what the amounts owed were. We were up to date on that before the end of November. All payments were caught up before the end of November. And at our board meeting in November on the 11th, we also decided that we were going to continue making full payments moving forward.
Did our legal costs start in October?
Yeah.
Did our legal costs at $45,000, did it start in October?
Yeah. Yes.
Mr. Lederman wrote the letter.
I'm just asking. I didn't know if there's any.
Right. So that would be the letter. What came from Mr. Lederman. It was less than one page. It said, "We understand you haven't made these payments. We demand you make them immediately." It was a pretty simple letter.
That was the beginning of the legal cost.
And we responded to that letter.
Oh,
Rusty has been.
Actually,
you okay?
No, Ms. McIntosh addressed my point I wanted to make. So.
Okay.
I have a comment.
Okay.
Actually, I have a question of Ms. Barkey, and then a comment. But so if you can come back, just so that we have a clear record.
You can reply. Just go ahead and reintroduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Beth Barkey, Rodeo Hercules Fire District Board Chair.
Thank you for coming back. I just wanted to know, did your fire district board know that you would not be making the required contribution payment to CICERA?
Yes, we did.
And when did you become aware of that?
I believe in July when we discussed the budget. We were informed that we were still waiting for an answer. We've been kind of dangling, waiting for an answer from CICERA, and that was every month our chief would bring us up to date on that, his meetings with staff, his emails with staff, whatever his communication had been. So we were kept up to date each month that we were waiting for an answer and hoping to get that. And then I know he went to the October meeting and we were hoping and all of that. So yes, we've been aware of that.
Okay, so this it sounds like, and help me out here, if this was a regular recurring item on your agenda to be kept abreast of whether and to what extent you would be in a financial position to make the contribution?
That's correct.
And you all knew as of July that you wouldn't be making the contribution?
Right. We were in the context of waiting to hear. We were more than willing to make the payments, but we were waiting to hear what the payments would be. Could they be less? Could they be re-amortized? Could they be reset? That was what we were waiting for. So we were waiting for that report.
And were these discussions held in open session or were these closed session discussions?
Mostly closed session, I believe. But the, yeah, go ahead.
Under 13800 of the Health and Safety Code, we're required to adopt a preliminary budget in June of the fiscal year, which was done, and then there was subsequent, that was open session, then there was a workshop in July and a workshop in August, and the final adoption of the budget in September of 2015 for 15-16, and in each one of those, as part of the agenda in open session and as part of those workshops, the deferral of the CICERA UAL contributions was brought up and discussed at length at each one of those meetings, and it should be as part of our minutes, which are available to you. But there were at least four separate and distinct meetings that discussed this problem beyond the updates.
Okay, and back to Mrs. Barkey, if I can. So in terms of the board's consideration of the issue of whether the district would be able to make the required payment, did the board instruct Chief Hanley or any member of the staff to seek relief from CICERA?
I'm sorry, could you?
Did the Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District Board instruct Chief Hanley or any fire district staff to go to CICERA and seek relief from the payment?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And that was done in a public meeting?
Yes, yes.
And your minutes would reflect that?
Yes.
All right.
And we've been trying to do that for months, and we're I wouldn't say grasping at straws, but we're close. Wherever we can find relief, and this issue, as the chief noted, is huge. It's a huge amount of our budget that's we're hoping to reset. And we're at a point where we need help, a lot of help. And this that's why we came to you. We came to you back. It has been almost a year now.
Well, thanks for coming back, at least. I don't have any more questions than Mrs. Sparky.
Okay, Jerry?
Just a couple thoughts. I do believe we're off topic here, but I do want to get back to at least some testimony, Ms. Sparky, that you didn't have the benefit of hearing. When the chief was asked at a reset discussion whether or not resetting to 30 years would make a difference, he said, not much, but every little bit would help. Something to that effect. Sir, that's what you said.
No, there was
every,
with the 18-year reset. It wasn't the 30.
Well, the 30.
It was
okay.
The 18.
But, okay, so to get back on today's point, I'm hearing that charging an administrative fee back to the district for what we had to do is not unreasonable. What I'm hearing about is discussions about what is a reasonable fee. We may not be able to determine that today, but I don't hear the chief disagreeing with the fact that we expended money and that we shouldn't eat that money, because I do not want to see that as a precedent for this board, that we establish a precedent that if we feel we have to take legal action, that we simply have to roll over and eat that fee.
No, I don't think the chief or our attorney is saying that at all. But what we're questioning is, from our standpoint, and I believe that Don just addressed this, we received a letter, and it was minimal communication to our chief, and we complied right away. It wasn't like this dragged out and we said, we're not going to pay, you know, you're going to have to do something else, you're going to have to institute legal action. We paid. Our next board meeting, we agreed, we paid. We're still hoping to work with you on re-amortizing this amount, but we did pay. We are paying.
But there are other steps, with all due respect. Just the one letter from Reed Smith to the district was not the only expenditure that we had.
We understand that.
There were undoubtedly other things that were being done.
If I might address that is part of the point we're trying to make here is, you know, Reed Smith took whatever actions they decided to take. It is not
with this board's direction. They don't do that unilaterally.
That may be true.
Okay.
But we received a letter, and at our very first opportunity to address that letter, we did. Before we had a chance to do that, Reed Smith had filed two complaints against the district before we had a chance to respond to the letter. That wasn't necessary. Had we had our meeting and refused to repay in response to that letter, then perhaps it would have been appropriate to file a complaint, certainly not two. And the motion to intervene that was filed in the pending litigation that had been holding up our ability to obtain the benefit assessment, the court didn't even give that any consideration. The court dismissed that case in December without us even having to respond to that motion. So clearly the court didn't think that motion had any validity there, and that actually held up our ability to finish a settlement in that case. So it certainly didn't further your cause of getting us to pay. And as soon as that motion was filed, I contacted Mr. Lederman. And he didn't return my call, but his associate did. And I said, we are meeting next week at our very first board meeting to address the issue of the payment to Cicera. And so I would ask, rather than spending any more money on litigation, we hold off until that meeting, because this issue is going to be addressed. I will call you the very next morning and give you a report on the board's action. I anticipate they're going to vote to pay for this, but I can't decide that for the board. And she agreed. The following Monday, a complaint was filed instead. I contacted Mr. Lederman and Ms. Chin and said, what is this? I told you we were meeting on Wednesday to consider the request by Cicera. So I don't think those costs were necessary or reasonable. I don't know if Mr. Lederman passed on these communications to the board or not, but at that Wednesday board meeting, the district reviewed the issue and they voted to pay in full and to continue making payments. And the next day, I contacted Mr. Lederman's office, informed them of this fact, and the chief contacted Cicera staff, and informed them of this fact and said we would be paying as quickly as possible. And within about a week, all payments were up to date. So when you're trying to determine what's a reasonable cost, that's what the government code allows you to assess, the reasonable costs incurred because of an untimely payment, not all costs that might have been incurred because people took extreme action that wasn't necessary. It's reasonable costs. And at our very first opportunity, we responded.
Scott?
So I have a couple of thoughts. As was already alluded to, I think, by Mr. Holcomb, that, you know, the actions that CSERA takes by and through its legal counsel and others are at the direction of the board. And I would respectfully disagree with your characterization of what we did and why we did it based on the facts and circumstances presented to us. I don't want to hear any more debate about it. I'll be generous and say that reasonable minds can differ. But I think that for me at this point, what I've come to understand is the district's position is you shouldn't have spent any money because we already told you in July that we weren't going to pay. It seems to me that this gets boiled down to that simple fact. And I think what I heard Supervisor Anderson speaking to earlier was let's get to the bottom of the email pile and the letters. It sounds like there was no transmittal letter that said, please be advised that if regrettably effective July 1, we will be unable to make the payment. We got a budget, we got some budget notes, but I don't think we got a transmittal that said it. But I don't know that. So my answer is, okay, with all respect to the level of effort that's been put in by our staff and council, I would recommend that they, for the moment, hold. I'm undoubtedly, there's a lot of response that is desired to be given here. Let's get the facts. Let's get every email. Let's get every letter. Let's get the budget you gave us. Get it all on the table. We're fully capable of assimilating documents and reaching decisions, and we will do that. But let's find out what the truth is, because your truth is different than our truth. You say we knew. We say we didn't. So let's get to the bottom of it. So I'd suggest we continue this item. I hate to do that. I'd suggest we continue the item with direction to our staff and council to assemble every relevant document that bears on this, and then we'll come back and revisit it with all that in mind and make a decision. That's my motion.
I agree with that.
I'll second, too.
Is
that
a second?
I'll second it.
Gabe can second.
No.
Yeah,
I'll vote.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion?
Just a comment.
Right.
Don, you weren't here when Chief Hanley spoke in October. He presented to this board a dire situation with Rodeo Hercules, and it came to this board's knowledge at that point that the district had not been paying its full obligation. He did not, at that point, indicate any plan for paying those obligations in full or to be able to pay obligations in the future. Based on that, this board took the action as far as directing counsel to file the intervening action in your pending lawsuit.
Yes.
And also the other action. I believe now that that was absolutely reasonable to protect the your employees' retirement, all of the members of CSERA, to the best of our ability, because we were at that meeting. We were not. Chief Hanley did not give us any other reasonable options as to how the district was going to be able to pay these amounts. Now, one question: were the arrears amounts, the $360,000, paid out of the $900,000 that you received in the settlement, or did those funds come from monies already held by the district?
The settlement actually freed up the benefit assessment, and the reason the chief wasn't able to speak to that at your October 22nd meeting, which I did listen to, by the way, even though I didn't attend, was because the settlement didn't occur until the 28th of October.
Correct.
And so that's when we settled that litigation, which freed those funds. But the payment, those funds allowed the district to use general fund monies to pay CSERA, because the benefit assessment funds could be used to pay for other fire protection services. So those funds became accessible upon that settlement.
So the district had the $360,000 prior to receiving the $900,000.
it had a minimal amount of funds to try to pay all of the district's expenses. So once the benefit assessment was freed up, then the district could use those funds to pay the basic service expenses that were being paid with the small funds it had before.
But if you had not received any money in the litigation, you would not have been able to pay the $360,000 that was due at that time to Sisera.
I don't know what we would have done. We would have taken your letter, we would have met, we would have looked at our budget to figure out if there's anything we could have done. I can't answer what we would have done. But I can tell you that that settlement occurred right after that meeting, which gave us the opportunity to then completely pay all the monies in arrears. Your letter came in right about the same time. It was put immediately on the next meeting's agenda. So I appreciate your concerns about payment and about the district not making its payments. You know, those are valid concerns. Absolutely, people have to be paying for the retirement funding.
So again, I'll reiterate the actions that we directed council to take as far as intervening and filing the separate lawsuit at the time were absolutely reasonable given the information that Chief Handley gave us at that October meeting.
But what I'd like to say,
any expenses incurred as a result of those actions by Sisera were as a result of information that was provided by the district through the chief on that date.
But you sent the district a letter asking for payment. The district had to have an opportunity to respond to that letter. The district wasn't given that opportunity. Both of those legal actions were filed before the district had an opportunity to respond to the letter.
Correct. That's right. They were filed almost immediately upon this board learning of the circumstances.
They were filed days before the board's meeting.
From Chief Handley's presentation to this board.
The second action was filed 2 days before the board's meeting, where it was voted to pay Sisera all funds in response to your letter, the very first opportunity.
Were we made aware that you were going to give us an answer at that meeting? I mean, after our October meeting, did you immediately say we're going to take this issue? No, when you got the correspondence from Mr. Lederman,
yes.
You responded and said we're going to take it up in another week or two.
Yes, we said we will be providing a formal response, yes.
We have an outside. Are you going to speak on the motion, by the way? Mm-hmm. Okay.
My name is Jerry Short. I'm a vice president with Contra Costa Firefighters Local 1230 and also an engineer with the Rodeo Hercules Fire District. I was present at the October meeting with Chief Handley, and I just would like to kind of clarify and point out to this board that it was actually a recommendation by Secretary Gordon pending the outcoming litigation of the benefit assessment that we advised you of that was tying up a majority of our funds at that time to wait to come to a decision until we heard back on the benefit assessment, which we did hear back the following meeting at our first Wednesday board meeting. During closed session, they came to their decision and that evening allowed us to be able to, the following day, make the payment to bring us current on our contribution. So that was one of the recommendations that this board made, was to wait for the outcoming litigation to see and then to review what the next step would be once we became current.
Thank you.
We have a motion on the table and a second. Any further discussion?
I just have one question. Unlike three of my colleagues, I'm not an attorney. So is the correspondence that, Harvey, that your firm received from Myers Navi, will that be part of this package of correspondence that we get? Is that possible?
Sure.
Because for me, the attorney has stated that your letter was very succinct, and I want to see what their response is that should have given us assurances that everything was going to be okay.
You'll get a full chronology.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I just want to say that I support Secretary Gordon's motion. So.
Okay. All in favor of Secretary Gordon's motion? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes. The resolution is continued. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take a short break. Let's like let's be back at 1:45.